Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. What a perfect prayer to have set before us on the week of Lobster Fest. We might think that the author of that collect knew that we would need extra faith, hope, and charity to meet the days ahead. Days where we come together to do the work of the church, to offer ourselves, our time, talent, and treasures for the good of our community through Habitat for Humanity. What we do through Lobster Fest is good indeed, but the long hours and the extra engagement can be taxing. And so it's good that we pray for an increase of faith, hope, and charity. It's also good to be reminded of what we are doing and, moreover, why, as we move into the week. We need to take a spiritual inventory in preparation for this week and all that it entails and all that it requires. We need not go into Lobster Fest spiritually drained or unaware, or our efforts will be of little benefit. They will drain us all the more. This week, the Pharisees are still up to their nasty tricks. They're still up to their attempts to trap Jesus. The Sadducees have given up. They've decided not to engage with Jesus anymore. So now it's solely up to the Pharisees to gather the evidence necessary to have him removed. They've tried tactics that involve the relationship between Jesus and the government to no avail. So now they will ask Jesus a deeply theological question. Which commandment of the law is the greatest, they ask. It would be interesting to know if they had something in mind, if they had a preconceived notion of what Jesus would say and how they would catch him in his missed statement. Obviously, that didn't happen. Jesus gave them their own law back. He quoted both Deuteronomy and Leviticus to them. The Shema, the best-known law, the one that was to be on their doorposts, their foreheads, and their arms. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then from Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. They knew these commands. Jesus said nothing new. He said everything else. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And these two commandments hang on love. That's what it's all about. That's what the entirety of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all of it, from the very beginning to this moment in time, is about love. Love God, love neighbor, love self. One of my favorite lines as a mother of young and teenage children was "because I said so." That's one of the great benefits of being the adult, and especially the adult parent. "Because I said so" is grounds enough for the expectation that the action in question would be completed. Why can't I go out at midnight? Why can't I watch that on TV? Why can't I eat poison? Because I said so. And obviously, the preferred response to most questions would involve a more thorough explanation of why the consequences would be very hazardous to the safety and security of the child. But sometimes, after a litany of questions that wears the parents out, the bottom line answer is, "because I said so." And you might think that I'm going to compare that to how God deals with us, especially in this commandment to love. Love God, love neighbor, and love self. But I'm not. What I'm going to say is that "because I said so" is not how Jesus is laying out this commandment, although he could. What I'm going to say here is that God doesn't say, because I said so, but because I do so. Love God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself, because first God did so. God loved first, so that we can love in return. From the moment of creation, and even before, God loved. The example we have is one of absolute and total love. Not just words, but action. That's what love is in God's terms. It's an action, not an emotion. Love is something we do, not something we feel. The question of how you feel about your neighbor is irrelevant. The command to love is not based on any worth or merit of your neighbor or even yourself. You may think of your neighbor as totally unlovable, and in fact, your neighbor may be totally unlovable. The command to love is not based on the worth or merit of the other. It is based on God and God's example. Remember, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. Love is not based on merit or worth or behavior or thinking or right belief. Love of the God sort is a gift. A gift of the most unusual sort, not like a gift we tend to give with some expectation attached to it, but a gift with no strings attached. A gift that expects nothing in return, only in advancement. The gift is given to be shared, not hoarded. There's a saying that ends with, love isn't love till you give it away. That saying rings true in God terms. This is the expectation of the gift of love that comes from God, that it will be shared, that it will spread, that it will move to the ends of the earth. We have an opportunity this week to act in love, to spread this love of God to our world, both here within our Grace family and throughout our community. We have an opportunity to model the love gift that we have been given by God, and the example of servanthood that we have been given by Christ. We have as our prayer that we be given an increase of faith, hope, and charity so that we can be strengthened for our service. If we have hearts for service, and if we have the love of God as our focus and love of our neighbor and self as our guide, we cannot go wrong. And we'll find that rather than being drained, we are filled. Perhaps it would do us well to also be reminded of the aspects of love that St. Paul defines in his letter to the troubled church in Corinth. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Those are our marching orders for the week ahead. That's our guideline for the week of Lobsterfest. And not just for the week of Lobsterfest, but for our whole lives. The commandment is to love. And that's what it looks like. That's how God loves us. And that's how we are to love God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Keep that on your doorposts, on your sleeves, and in the forefront of your mind.